Hey everybody, it's Ty with the Hunter Brothers. You are listening to the Music's Journey Show with my friend Kim Steer.
As long as there's wheat fields out in the west, country folks gonna fight about which one's best, which pulls harder, which runs smoother, what don't ever break down. Who you gonna call when you need a tow, but to get the crop off when it's starting to snow? Might cut to the chase instead of saying hi, cause all we wanna know is what color you drive. Show me the keys, is it New Holland yellow or a John Deere green? Is it a quad track smokestack, brand new or throwback, shined up or covered in mud? From Holland hay in a Case IH, Saskatchewan prairies or the Kansas plains, does it got a ladder I can climb inside? Red, green or yellow, what color you drive?
You just heard a snippet of the new single, What Color You Drive, by Juno Award-nominated country group, the Hunter Brothers. Real-life brothers JJ, Dusty, Luke, Brock, and Ty are no strangers to hard work, perseverance, and discipline. Life on the family farm wasn't always easy, but the brothers attribute most of their success, both in hockey and in music, to their rural upbringing in a home dedicated to faith, music, and sport. With over 61 million video and audio streams to date, Hunter Brothers have amassed a large volume of industry credibility in a record amount of time, including multiple CCMA Award nominations, Juno Award nominations, and Saskatchewan Country Music Award wins, including their most recent win for Country Artist of the Year in 2022. Here to talk about the band's success, their latest single and video, the all-night tour, and their upcoming new EP, as well as their new addition to the Hunters Country Clan. Here to talk about it all is the lead vocalist, Ty Hunter. Hi, Ty. How are you?
Hey, Kim. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Really good. Great to have you on the show, finally. How was your holidays?
Well, thank you, first of all, so much for having me today, Kim. I am just very, very grateful to be chatting with you finally. The holiday season was an interesting one.
I heard.
Christmas Day itself was when I actually found the time to relax, because I was working in and around it. But we had our family trip to Mexico earlier on in December, mm-hmm. which was kind of our Hunter family Christmas. And we were there for actually 11 days, and we were supposed to be there for 7. So we had an additional 4 days spent in Mexico, but it was not situated in one place, and it was with 24 people. So was probably one of the ones that I will remember for the rest of my life, for very good reasons, and also very difficult circumstances with 3 children, 5 and under. But you know what? We made it home for Christmas, and it was great to be with the family.
Oh, wow. Because I was looking at all of your social media postings, and I always get a chuckle when I'm seeing, you know, all the family together, because you guys are together, you know, in recording all the time. You guys are on the road together, and then you vacation together. And I think that's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
I know, it's exhausting. No, I'm no, we really do love each other. I don't think we would be able to do it if we, didn't appreciate each other's company. So it's an honor to do it together. I mean, we have our moments, but definitely lots of time spent. That's for sure.
Oh, that's amazing. Absolutely amazing. That just goes to show you, you know, what your background is and your family dynamics and just your faith base, all of that. I think it kind of leads to being able to stay close together, right?
It does. Yeah. And I think, everybody, it's funny being in the same family growing up, you still have so many differences. Mm-hmm. But I think the key in so many ways is seeing those differences as strengths. It takes a period of time to get there. Mm-hmm. But if you can really take the time to hear from someone else's perspective, you see that can grow you a lot stronger. So that's kind of the philosophy that we've taken in so many avenues, and we're still trying to figure it out. I mean, we're brothers, so there's, you know, arm wrestling that goes on at certain times, maybe not necessarily straight up, but, you know, with words or whatever it might be. But know, we've said this, we get to do this with some of our best friends in the world. So, yeah, it's one of those perspective things.
Well, when you take a look at what's happened in the news, especially like again last night, and I was covering that with Lisa Marie Presley and everything that has gone on, so many losses already and this year, and you want to be able to cherish the moments that you have, because like you said, you're with your brothers, these are your best friends, and being able to do this with them is pretty incredible to begin with. And just to cherish those moments for as long as it's there, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you nailed it on the head. And it's one of those things that recently I've been really trying to, you know, whenever I leave the house, I'll just turn to my wife or my kids and just say, I love you. And just making sure that you walk out and you dwell on that. Because there is just so much negativity, and you know, one of our favorite songs that we sing live, Silver Lining, is all about that. It is just finding the positive perspectives, not that you you know, just neglect the hard things in life. I know you need to travel through those things, but there's something to be said about ensuring that you're cherishing those moments, like you say.
I know I always did that with my parents. No matter what was happening, I always made sure. I was really close to both of them to begin with, but I always ended every conversation I ever had with, I love you.
Good for you. Yeah, that's it's a very, very wise thing to do. So yeah, no, thank you. It's an honor to do it together.
It certainly is. Now I hear you got a new addition to the Hunter Clan. Tell us about that.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. He might be the future lead singer, so I might be out of a job in, you know, 18 years. It's possible. We'll see. Maybe he'll be a drummer. See you, Dusty.
You just never know with your family. Man, you guys are so, you know, gifted in every way possible. So you just never know. He might be doing drums and singing. You just never know.
Either that, or there's going to be a choir and it'll, I don't know, maybe they'll do baseball instead, or I don't know what's going to happen. But it's, yeah, he came along September 3rd. So I finally have a little boy. I have two girls. Actually, my oldest girl's birthday is today, and mine is tomorrow. So
happy birthday to both of you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Thank you very much.
Another January baby.
Yeah. What's that? Sorry.
I said another January baby.
Yes. Yeah. It's really, really special having him around. There's just been, so many amazing moments already, and I'm enjoying having a baby around. I'm remembering that there's a little less sleep that goes on.
That's right.
Every time you have another kid, you're quickly reminded that you're no longer in a rhythm that you were before that. So,
and you probably just got back into that rhythm too with everything that's going on in the world, right?
Exactly. Yeah, nothing like shaking it up again. So,
I know.
But this is a good thing to shake it up. So
gotta keep you on your toes, Ty.
Always. Yes. I have so many things keeping me on my toes.
I know you do. That's why I'm laughing as I'm saying it, because I'm telling you, you guys are so busy. Now, congratulations. Gotta say this, because your recent win for the Saskatchewan Country Music Awards, Artist of the Year. You guys have hit every category. Every category.
Well, thank you. You know, there is something very honoring about being on your own soil, your own turf. You know, here in Saskatchewan, we're all still living here, which is crazy, because so often, you know, people move away and you know, there were seasons and times where everybody did go for further ventures down the hockey road, and then everybody wound up back here, most due to injuries, actually. So injuries brought us back together. But it's really special when you get to be back together here in Saskatchewan, and then just being at the awards ceremony and being honored with that was just a really special moment. So again, just speaking of cherishing the moments, it was one of those things that you just have to pinch yourself and really appreciate the moment. So thank you very much.
You guys have had such an amazing career so far, and man, success coming out of the gate in record time. And just an incredible ride that you guys have been on so far. And to just be at that really heightened level before COVID hit. And then all of a sudden you guys are, you know, finding different ways to stay in contact with your fans. And like you said, everybody's back, you know, on the family farm, right? You guys are working there?
Yeah, so the other four brothers are all actively working on the farm. I just actually this last year decided to take like a little bit of a different path. Like I've worked on the farm for most of my life. Mm-hmm. My wife actually owns a coffee shop. I'm actually sitting up above it right now in our community. And so we're actively doing that together. And I was actually working for a kids camp last year in the midst of just kind of in the midst of the craziness of everything that was transpiring. And so I'm about 98% extroverted. And the reason I know that is because I took a personality test that told me that. And so COVID was a very bizarre time for me. And so, yeah, the last couple of years have been, I don't want to pretend that they were roses, not that they were for anybody, but it was a very challenging couple of years, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And just finding ways to interact with like you said, fans and people who had followed along very closely up to that point, and then all of a sudden live shows are not a thing and you have to figure out ways to connect without that live element. So it was very challenging, but like anything in life, you have to learn to pivot quickly. And so I think that just has taught me so much about learning to embrace moments, but also being able to reframe things and be willing to step out in different directions at times. So it's been quite a journey, to say the least.
Well, it's just incredible to see the friendship with your brothers, just all of you working together. Like you said, everybody has different personalities, and that's what makes the group as good as it is. And being able to have those different opinions and have that discipline of hard work that it requires to be in a business like this and be successful. Talk to us about what you think, what success looks like, and what you guys have accomplished so far.
Wow, that's a great question. How much time do we have?
As much time as you want.
Oh boy, got the whole autobiography here. Okay, so basically, I mean, we were advised by somebody quite a few years ago, and I think it was really good advice that, you know, if you were to make it to, let's just say, the Grammys one day, but you were all in separate dressing rooms, that probably wouldn't be success for you guys. And we agreed with that. That just hit home, because we went, you know what, success for us looks like being able to, even in the midst of differences, to look at your brother across the way or family member, whether it's their spouses, their kids, and say that you have that friendship and that relationship, and that you value the person and not just business that comes along with it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing. We've been so fortunate and very grateful to have experienced a lot musically, because I mean, we've had our country music career, but prior to that, I mean, we went through multiple genre shifts, and we traveled through the States, you know, across Western Canada doing gospel music. And then we were doing CCM music, and then that morphed into country music, where we kind of found our place and where our story made the most sense in a lot of ways. Not that it didn't in the other musical genres, but stylistically country seemed to just fit. And so I think you alluded to it before, but that faith, family, farming, friendship, you know, all the F's culminate together to bring that recipe of success. And again, we have not done it perfectly by any stretch of the imagination. There's been a lot of bumps along the way, and there still is. Mm-hmm. But I think it's all about coming back to that place of focus and remembering that we're on the same team, even though we play different positions on the ice, for lack of a better term. Mm-hmm. Taking it back to hockey.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you kind of spoke on it right there. It's like life changes, and it's always,
that's
one thing that you can guarantee is going to happen, that life's going to throw you a curveball. And when you come back, and you said that very clearly, when you all come back together, that's what the real connection is. It's always going to happen where, you know, everybody kind of goes off a little bit, you know, because you're individuals, and that's bound to happen. But to see what you guys have accomplished in a very short period of time when it comes to the country genre, which is pretty incredible. I love the faith-based background, because to me, it's a grounding that's hard to explain. And it's just something very special that, you know, you can count on. You'll come back to that whenever it's trouble or when it's, you know, happy times in your life, we always seem to gravitate back to our faith base, right?
Yes, absolutely. And that that grounds us more than anything. I think that that's that perspective for all of us is keeping that as the main focal point, and everything else seems to follow. So, it is. I think grounding is a very appropriate word, especially given that we grew up on the farm. So, thanks for saying that.
Now, you've got a family background with music in it. So some of the fans that may not know that, talk a bit about that, because you grew up in a music family. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, I'm turning 30 tomorrow, and there are actually video footage of my mom pregnant on stage with me that we can track back to. And so as a family, we were actually singing gospel music at that time. And there was a local festival that had started up in our hometown of Shaunavon. And it wasn't one of those things where, you know, our immediate family sought out to be a singing group. We got asked to be a part of it. And that's where a lot of our immediate family connections to music came from on the performing side. But in my parents' situations, there was a trio that came from my dad's side. My grandfather was self-taught in 6 different instruments, and my mom and her siblings were all musical as well. And so it's one of those things where it definitely was passed down, and kind of bizarre because all 5 of us somehow wound up with 5 different vocal registers. So we have Dusty who sings in the stratosphere, and Brock who can sing in the basement, and 3 forwards, 2 defensemen on the ice. Everybody picked a different instrument. It's very bizarre actually looking back at it in retrospect, and a dad who was a figure skater, but can't keep rhythm that well. Figure that one out.
Wow.
So it's quite it's definitely a history in music, and there's lots of different stories to trace back to. And in many ways, our legacy, we're very, very thankful for our mom sitting us down and working with us on the piano day after day after day, having us name our notes, just learning the actual technicalities of music, because she actually didn't do that growing up. She said, I really wish that I had the opportunity to do that. So she put us all on piano as kids and wanted to give us that basis of understanding. So that we're very thankful.
Very smart. So she's passing on something that she wished she had been taught and would have made it life a lot easier for her, probably going through the music journey.
She was young, yeah. So she kind of took it on herself we had a music teacher as well, but then she just worked very closely hand in hand. And so we have to give props to mom. She's a lot of respect for her, that's for sure.
That's amazing. We've been talking about family dynamics and where the music bug started. Who was the first to jump on board for music out of all 5 of you?
Oh man, well, like I said, everybody was put in piano lessons right from a young age. So I think my brothers started when they were about 7 years old, and I begged to be in piano. I'm the youngest by a long shot. I'm the leftovers, the old age.
Me too.
Just kind of tacked on the end, the surprise child. So, we share that in common. I knew there was something. Okay, I felt that connection. So, yes. And so I begged to be in piano lessons when I was 5, and everybody seemed to take to it, although everybody seemed to appreciate different genres. If you actually look at our music, there's many different styles that are in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. Our dad used to play us videos and music from like the Jackson 5, and I grew up listening to 70s music and Motown, and I just really latched onto the performance side of things.
Okay.
And everybody kind of had their own vein that they found interesting. Like I said, we started on piano, and then everybody moved and branched out to different instruments. And so it almost just felt like a mutual thing. It wasn't really, you know, one brother over here that was passionate about it and the other one wasn't, and they got kind of rigged into it. Although one thing that we will say is, because our parents had this agreement, so dad wanted to put us in hockey, Mom wanted to put us in piano, and so there was an agreement between the two of them that everybody had to practice their piano before they could go out and take their shots on the hockey rink. But I was the opposite. I had to go and play hockey so that I could go and play piano. So I feel like there's a little bit of an indication there as to where that passion flowed from, and then somehow wound up being the lead vocalist. And maybe that's part of why I just kind of, it just
naturally fit right into that lane.
I just love it so much.
I love the stories about you guys being younger and mirroring music videos. You got to tell us a little bit about that. Do you remember the first one you guys did it to?
I actually don't remember the first one. There is some gnarly video footage of us as kids. There is some footage that should never be brought out from the archives.
Those are the best ones.
Oh, man. Like, did we think we were cool at this point? I mean, maybe we didn't have a choice at the time, but wow, we had some, I hesitate to call it dance moves because I don't think that they were. They were maybe like forced artistic expression moves. I don't even know what you call them. But we actually had this one number that my mom wrote. And then we performed it, and there was this whole breakdown section in the middle where my parents did like this really rough beatboxing, and then five of us did dance moves again, quote unquote, in synchronization. And that is one of those pieces of footage that should not come out.
Okay, what's your mom's first name?
Norma.
Okay, so Norma, I'm calling on you right now to bring out that footage.
Hang on. I said I'm an open book, but like there was a clause in there. You just crossed the line.
And have you guys mirror what you guys did when you were younger and put that on TikTok, don't you think? Come on.
Oh no. If it ever blew up, which it wouldn't, it would be for all the wrong reasons. And see, I don't think
we
want to be known for that. So
I'm waiting for the click. He's going, okay,
that is
I enjoyed
not the legacy piece that I was talking about at all.
Okay, so let's talk about the legacy of Blood Harmonies. There's nothing better. I don't know what it is, but you can't match it. It's just, to me, it's impossible to match what you get with siblings. And playing gospel, being a big part of what your music journey is, I think that's probably what really helps siblings to be able to balance that so well.
Yeah, it's a really hard thing to explain. We've actually had some complications at times, to be honest, when we've recorded, because, you know, people will hear us live and they say, okay, there's those Blood Harmonies, and then we get onto a record and we'll record, and it almost sounds like, you know, the brother has just been layered over and over again. So there isn't that clear distinction. I mean, everybody does have different tones when you break it down, but because of that relation, it sometimes almost sounds like one brother just recorded on top of, you know, their other vocal parts. So it's really bizarre. You're kind of talking about the kind of who, you know, maybe was invested in music first. Mm-hmm. And like I said, everybody, I think, at their time growing up was inspired in some different capacity. But my second oldest brother, Dusty, there were a couple different vocalists that he followed quite closely as a kid. Mm-hmm. And so he mirrored the really high vocal parts, and he absolutely loved that. And he fell in love with harmonies as well. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear a lot of the parts on our projects, you can just almost imagine Dusty sitting there and hearing all these parts and then kind of orchestrating it in a lot of different lanes. And so one of the numbers, Carol of the Bells, from our Joy to the World project, our Christmas project, really, really has those parts. So if you want to go and listen to a track that has a lot of those parts that are distinguished, it's coming from Dusty.
Well, you can hear that so beautifully in that song. And I played that quite a bit, actually, in the show prior to Christmas and the holidays. But man, you guys did that song so well, really well.
Thank you. It was a bucket list item. I've loved that song for as long as I can remember. So it's so fun when you actually get to hit those milestones. And, you know, you asked about the success portion. And like I said, at the end of the day, I think it is relationships, being mm-hmm. able to travel this journey and being able to say that you have a relationship with each other. But I think on the musical side, when you're able to set those goals that they've been in the back of your mind ever since you were a kid, and you are able to arrive at them, whether it is, you know, 10 or 15 years later, even if it seems like a small thing, it can be a really big thing from your childhood that, mm-hmm. That it's just exciting when those things happen. So
pretty cool. Pretty cool. You guys have, I imagine, have hit quite a few of those, just like the Junos being one of them. That's pretty incredible. What was it like for you guys when you heard that news that you're up for nominations for Juno?
It was amazing. I remember we were on another family trip to Mexico, actually.
See, you guys got to stay in Mexico and you get all these great news coming down the pipe.
Yeah, exactly. We don't live there. There's been a couple of trips that we have taken, and now we're talking about those. We were all in different places, and the Wi-Fi wasn't clear in all places, mm-hmm. and so everybody's phone was kind of going off at different times. And then when we finally all got the news, it kind of culminated together, and we went down and we met at the pool deck and just had this really cool moment. We were just very, very grateful. I mean, hearing that it's a very special thing. Mm-hmm. And so to be kind of in the same vicinity and to share that moment together shortly after was pretty cool. It was one of those hard things too after the fact, though, because that was the year that COVID hit, and we were actually on our way to the Junos when we got the news that they were canceled.
Oh.
We were actually driving there, and 2 hours into our trip, we found out. And so we continued on to Saskatoon because they were in Saskatchewan that year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had rehearsed our songs. We were ready to play the gala and to play this Canadian inspired event the one night. And it was tough, you know, just realizing that we don't know what's happening in the future, but right at this moment, you know, things are shutting down, and it was very bizarre. But the honor was, we were very honored still. It was just one of those interesting things to reflect on for sure.
Another full circle moment for you guys must have been, because for everybody to play hockey, and so many, I think it was what, two or three brothers that went to the NHL that played pro.
Well, so JJ played, my oldest brother, he played in the Edmonton Oilers organization.
For quite a while,
he
right?
played,
yeah.
Yeah. So he played multiple exhibition games, and he was playing with their affiliate team.
Mm-hmm.
And the year he was poised to play full time, was when he separated his shoulder, actually. And he just actually had surgery on it this year. So when I was saying that we had different injuries that sent us back to the farm, I mean, I actually didn't leave, because again, youngest child, and so I've been here all along. I did snap my femur, but not to a hockey casualty. JJ separated his shoulder. Dusty had a terrible eye injury where his retina detached.
Oh,
Luke
wow.
actually had an eye injury as well. Brock had multiple concussions, and that sent them all back to the family farm, and then we were able to do music a lot more. But yeah, hockey was a part of our lives for years. In fact, tonight Dusty's coaching his kids, and so we're gonna go and head to the rink shortly after I have this call to go watch my nephews play. So it's still in the blood. People are coaching now. And so it's cool to watch that come full circle now as well.
Well, the full circle moment too that we're also talking about is singing the national anthem at the LA Kings game.
Yeah.
What was that like for you guys? Because being a part of hockey and then to turn around and be able to sing the national anthem, it's just, that's gotta be pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a surreal moment. It was Ryan Smith's 100th game. JJ had the honor of living with Ryan Smith at one point in his career. And so being able to sing it for that particular game at the LA Kings game was, yeah, it's something that we'll never forget. And we kind of talked about one of those goals, one of our goals being, it'd be fun to go back and sing in the arenas that we once were holding a hockey stick in to now go back with microphones. And so it's been really neat, because when we played at the Rogers Center in Edmonton, which was Rexall Place previously, JJ, it was cool seeing his face light up, being that he had played in that rink so many times.
That's so awesome.
And then going back and opening for Paul Brandt and being in that arena was pretty cool. So you're hit with all of those memories and mm-hmm. you just relive them, but then there's new ones that are being created. So it'll be fun in about 20 years from now to talk about all the memories, because it's been really neat to experience them together. And for me, like, I didn't go as high as everybody did in hockey. I had a femur injury there, like I said, but being able to just listen to the stories and to live them through, you know, the eyes of my brothers as we're going and playing at these arenas is pretty special for sure.
Well, it's three things that you guys have in common that you've all lived, which is like really cool. And that's the hockey and obviously the music, but also your faith too. So very cool. Really cool. When you sit there and listen to the stories and the people that influenced you, and we're talking about the different influences for your brothers as well as for yourself when it comes musically, what were the influences for you personally growing up?
Yeah, so for me, I'm a huge Motown fan. I love R&B. I love soul. I love the 70s. I don't know. There's something about music at that time that just inspired me. I know that my parents exposed me to it for sure. And I remember watching like American Idol growing up as a kid, and there were all these different nights that, you know, people would mm-hmm. sing, whether it was R&B night or Motown week. And I just remember those particular genres really speaking to me. Probably my favorite all-time artist is Stevie Wonder. And I feel like there's a passion and an energy and a love for music that I haven't sensed anywhere else for me personally. Mm-hmm. I know that music is very subjective. There, I had a Motown clock as a kid. Actually, cool. I think it was given to one of my brothers, and I don't think I swiped it. I just think that they weren't using it. So it went up on my wall, and it had a little microphone that was the hand that went around, and every hour when it was light out, a different Motown song would come on. And nice. So it literally played in my room every hour. So that
meant to
that,
be.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
Meant to be with that microphone in your hand. Absolutely. Do you remember the very first song that you ever wrote, Ty?
The very first song that I wrote? Mm-hmm. I don't recall the first full song. My brain worked in puns. Well, it still does at times. I always used to write parodies. Okay. I would always replace lyrics with lyrics of things that were going on at the time. And so if you actually look at the beginning of our country career, we'd be in the field. So I'm not quite as passionate about farming as some of the other guys, but you make the most of situations. And so I would run the grain cart at harvest time. And I was like, this is an opportunity. There's a CB radio in front of me. I'm going to seize that and try and entertain people. So I would do the Farm Fresh song of the day. We would do weather reports. We would play Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I was like, hey, we can have a great time out in the fields. Like, it doesn't have to be boring. Like, it can be fun. So we waited for the evening programming, and then I would come over the radio and put lyrics to a well-known song, but just replace it with farming lyrics of things that happened that day. And so cool. I remember like Cor Blunden's like truck got stuck ended up being combine got stuck, and so it was this whole thing. And so I used to do that all the time. I loved words, and I loved playing around with them, but that just kind of naturally came. And so that was something I just did all the time. As far as like an original lyric, I don't recall the first one. I remember my favorite one, but I don't know about
what's your favorite
one. Hands down would be Just Wanted You to Know.
I love
my
that song.
Favorite track of ours of all mm-hmm. time. It was 11 o'clock at night. I was in Nashville. It was the night before our last write down there after we had been for 2 weeks. This was actually right before COVID too. And I was about to go to bed, and I couldn't fall asleep. And my wife asked me, she said, is everything okay? I said, no, something's off. And I didn't know exactly what, but all of a sudden this song came to me, and it was about feeling somebody else's pain. And wow. It flowed out of me in 5 minutes. There's only been a couple of times where that's happened. I call it the antenna to heaven because it kind of felt like an out-of-body experience. And so I feel like I can't even take credit for that. It just kind of came out, and I wrote it in my phone and I went to bed. And then the next morning, I mean, I went to read it and I was like, oh boy, this might be terrible. It happened at 11 o'clock, like who knows? And I looked at it and it all made sense. And I took it into the write that was kind of a little bit of a last minute write. And we were with Robin Collins and Victoria Banks, who were some of my favorite writers mm-hmm. of all time. Mm-hmm. And I brought this song and I just kind of spoke it out loud, and Victoria starts crying. And Robin brings in a personal story about something that it was difficult that had happened the night before. And it ended up taking a new face. So it's not actually just the original lyric. The hook is the same. So I have the original in my phone, but then it became more of a universal song as well, where it wasn't just about hurting for someone. It was about maybe being the person who is hurting and being the person who is hurting for someone. It has both those perspectives. And mm-hmm. so I think Dusty threw a melody line on, Vic picked up a guitar and started going, and the write just was just as fluent as almost any write. And then we got home and COVID hit shortly after, and it wasn't a song that we were even necessarily going to release. And all of a sudden it started coming to us. We're like, we should put this out there. And so we just did an acoustic version and put it out, and it's probably my favorite song to date.
It is. It's one of mine too. It's one of mine because of the lyrics. And yeah, very special, special song at the right time.
Once again, I just think it was one of those things that was meant to be. It's not something that you can script, even though it may be, you know, flowing out of your hand in the writing session. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I feel it's just what you're meant to do if you're an artist or you're, you know, supposed to bring people together in times like that.
Well, why don't we play that one right now? Do you want to introduce that one for me?
This is Ty with the Hunter Brothers, and just wanted you to take a listen to this track. It's called Just Wanted You to Know, one of my favorite tracks of ours that we've ever had the opportunity to do.
Inside your bones, it's pressing on your chest, it's heavy as a stone. And I know you're trying to be strong, holding up a heartache you've been carrying so long. You're out there wondering if anybody's feeling the way you're feeling right now. Just keeping the secrets that people don't talk about. I just wanted you to know somebody's thinking about you when you're thinking that you're on your own. Just wanted you to know you're out there drowning in your tears when you're crying on the bathroom floor. I'm tossing and turning in my bed cause you're spinning in circles in my head. When you feel like you're breaking, you don't need to break. I just wanted you to know. Just wanted you to know. No one else has lived inside your skin, but someone else has walked there in the shoes you're walking in. No matter where you are or where you go, somewhere past the hurt, there's always hope. I just wanted you to know somebody's thinking about you when you're thinking that you're on your own. Just wanted you to know while you're out there drowning in your tears, while you're crying on the bathroom floor. I'm tossing and turning in my bed cause you're spinning in circles in my head. When you feel like you're breaking, you don't have to break. I just wanted you to know. Just wanted you to know. I'm here for you, I'll pray for you, I'll let my own heart break for you, I'll cheer for you, I'll
on the bathroom floor. Yeah, I just wanted you to know somebody's thinking about you and you're thinking that you're on your own. Just wanted you to know you're out there drowning in your tears and you're crying on the bathroom floor. I'm tossing and turning in my bed, just spinning in circles in my head.
Back. What a special, special song. Don't forget you can download that on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and you can also request it at your favorite local country station. So tell us about being pitched El Dorado.
Oh, I remember that day. I was with Brad Rempel from High Valley, who has been a huge influence of ours. We actually used to do gospel circuits with the Rempel brothers. And so we had had some actually really difficult encounters when we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. We were moving from Christian contemporary music into country music. And we had this really difficult experience in Nashville. I won't go into detail too far, but we were actually almost potentially ready to pack it in as a group.
Way.
And what ended up happening was JJ had a conversation with Brad Rempel from High Valley. And he introduced us to a producer, actually still our producer, we're working with him, Seth Mosley, and his engineer, X O'Connor. And he kind of gave us another leg to stand on, where he started introducing us to people, started taking us around to pitch meetings. And so we got pitched the song El Dorado. And I was with Brad that day. And it was one of those ones where you just kind of stopped for a moment and went, yeah, no, I think there's something here. And it just worked well with our harmonies. And that just kind of ended up being the lead single out of the gate. So yeah, it's that feels like a really long time ago.
Yeah. And you know what? It's one that's going to stand out for so many fans. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the song that started it all for these five brothers. Here is El Dorado by multi-award winning country band, the Hunter Brothers, here on Music's Journey.
Yeah, just shine it up, got underneath the hood. Make sure it's running right, yeah, ain't it sounding good? Girl, what you doing now? How about we try it out? Wanna take a little ride, show you what it's all about. Come on, baby, lay back, just like that. Get them lanes on the leather seat, stones on the 8-track. Top down on the 2-lane, we can go. Truck, yeah, it'll get us there. The way you look tonight, girl, I don't really care. You wanna mix it up, you wanna turn some heads. You in the jet black Cadillac makes me wanna lay back, just like that. Get them legs on the leather seats, see her on the 8-track. Top down on the 2-lane, we can go any old road. Head way out, watch the sun sink down. What's your favorite color? Just us kicking dust, girl. Just like like that. Get them legs on the leather seats, Skinnered on the A-track. Top down on the two-lane, we can go any old road. Headway out, watch the sun sink down. What's your favorite color? We can paint us up a new town. Just us kicking dust, girl.
That was the debut single, El Dorado, by country band The Hunter Brothers, that was released in May of 2016, the first single for the brothers after being signed by Open Road Recordings. Man,
I'm glad you have these timelines down, because I don't remember the dates. I'm an artist. I don't remember the dates.
I know. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. We don't forget. We don't forget. You guys hit the ground running, and the success after success with your music. How hard has it been with the music career coming in so hot and so fast? Because we talk about it a lot on the show here when artists hit like that, and the difficulties of just trying to navigate everything that you're going through, and it can be pretty overwhelming. What's it been like for you?
I think that probably one of the things that stands out to me right away, that's a great question. Thank you for asking it, is growing up on the farm and playing hockey. There's a lot of twists and turns that come with that. You know, we on the farm, there's days where you're working 16 to 20 hours or sometimes even around the clock. I actually distinctly remember, it's one of the things I remember when I'm on stage, when I'm holding a note out. When I was a kid, I remember my dad having me do laps in the pool back and forth. And he would kind of go, hey, if you can go underwater there and back, like, I'll give you a chocolate bar type of thing. And so when I look back at the intentionality behind what he was doing, he was having me just push a little bit further than I thought I could go. And I've carried that with me, because in the music industry, it's not an easy road. And anybody who's in it knows that. Anybody who's attempted being part of a creative career in general knows that there's a lot of work to get there, and there's a lot of pounding the pavement. And in those moments where you feel like you're almost ready to give up, there's just a little bit more that you have to offer, and then there's a lot more behind that. So often it's so tempting to give up when you're about 90% of the way there. And so that little 10% push can be the very difference, you know, in a career. And so I think that moments like that, whether it was pushing on the farm, those extra few hours before the rain was going to come because you knew that seed had to get in the ground, or it was on the hockey rink where you had to pull out the stops in the last few moments of the game, or those moments just where I know that our parents pushed us that little bit further, that extra mile. I think that in many ways is what's just allowed us to deal with the stress and the pressure that gets thrown your way, because there are so many changes, and you can go from having a song that does really well to having a song that doesn't do so well, or you just don't know. You don't know what's going to happen the next day. Honestly, it can change so quickly. So I would say that, and then also you alluded to it, the faith aspect, the grounding aspect of that, and the family members that we can lean on if something's not going awesome. Like I have Luke, for instance, is like the walking pharmaceutical. If I am with him in a hotel room and I'm not feeling well, I know that he'll have garlic pills. He will have like essential oils. Like he's just right there with it so that my voice doesn't go down. And so there's little things like that, that you it's easy again. Like you can take them for granted, but there's all these little moments in between that happen.
And so many singers will find that at some point in time that they lose their voice or something happens. And you're not prepared for that, because like when you're going through this whole journey in the beginning, it's just like everything's so exciting. You know, you're on pitch. The fans are right on board. The music industry, you know, is recognizing everything you're doing. It's an incredible journey to be on. But those little bumps in the road can be, you know, really, really hard for an artist to be able to manage and to be able to get back into that mindset to try again.
Oh yeah, and you can also be your own worst critic, and especially as an artist, you can be so hard on yourself. And you, you know what you're capable of at times where you go, I can do that so much better, but it's never going to be perfect. And so when you know, you're going on the road and for instance, you're not sleeping, you know, you're traveling from province to province, your voice isn't feeling top notch and you go out there to perform and you're not feeling on that day and people have come to see you and you want to deliver the best you possibly can. There are times where the voice is just not feeling awesome. Mm-hmm. And so at those points that, you know, the show is still going on and you have to push through, but then also know where there's margins where you have to be able to say no at times too. And that's the worst thing. Fortunately, we haven't had to do that very often, but there's definitely been times where vocally people are just not feeling it, which is not a good thing when you're a vocal based group. So we've talked about it, that battle of perfectionism where you want it to be as best as it possibly can be. And then you have to go back to the moments of, yeah, let's challenge ourselves to be better, but let's also enjoy the moment. So it's finding the balance between those two mm-hmm. goalposts.
It's great when you have other artists that you look up to, peers, that will give you that advice too, because they'll tell you, along that journey, songs that you think, you finish writing it, and I'm sure you guys have gone through this, think are going to do fantastic. And for some reason, they don't. And ones that you don't think are going to do all that well, do amazing. So you just never know what the pulse of the music is, what's being played on radio. It's all in timing. And some of those songs end up coming back up later and tend to hit more. With whatever's going on in the world, right?
Definitely. Yep. No, and that's the beautiful thing about music is it threads things together in certain ways and certain times that you just can't predict. Mm-hmm. And so, sometimes the shows you think are going to be the worst end up being some of the best and vice versa. And then every once in a while you get some of those shows that you just feel are going to be really good and then they go really well. Those are the best.
What is your favorite show to date that you guys have played?
Wow. Summer, I'm just gonna think of the ones this last summer because I think there was so much excitement around performing again. Mm-hmm. Just in that pent-up energy, all of a sudden being able to get out there and connect with fans again and see people and perform. There were a couple that stood out to me. Dauphin's Country Fest this last year in Manitoba was so fun. I just remember everything about that show just kind of clicking, and that was a blast. And there was another one, Lucknow in Ontario, was an absolute blast because it's called Music in the Fields.
Absolutely. So go to that one all the time. Yep.
Right at home, like almost in somebody's backyard, but all these people show up and they are just there for a great time. They're there to enjoy the evening. I just remember the energy that night being so great. So mm-hmm. those are two of my standout shows this last year. Just from the temperature in the audience was just
one too, because they dedicated that show to James as well. Because there was an artist. And I was I was a part of all of that. And it was just such a special event. But that was such a one to remember. And the fans out there, they just love country music. And they are there full heart and soul. And they don't miss anything. They'll line up for a long time too. And they'll stand out. And whatever the weather throws at them, they are right there. And they absolutely love every minute of the show.
Country music fans are resilient. That is for sure.
They are. They are.
There is nothing holding them back from a good party.
Exactly.
So.
And everybody was waiting so much for you guys to be able to get back on the road and perform. It was a special year for you guys in the music that you were releasing last year. Now, we got to talk about Peace, Love, and Country that you guys released in June last year. Tell us about the songwriting for this one and just the incredible harmonies you guys put together for it. I love this song.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. This was a really neat write as well. I remember coming into our music shop, which is actually an old mechanic shop that's mm-hmm. been converted into a music shop.
Pretty cool.
Expedited that process when COVID hit. We had started it, but now there's an actual studio in there and a rehearsal space. And so I remember coming in that morning and I knew I had a write that day. And so I popped into the studio and hopped online to the Zoom write. And all of a sudden this idea, like it just the music started coming together, the chord structure and everything. And I think we just started talking about the fact that, you know, there's just so much polarization in the world where mm-hmm. you look, whether it is in politics or people's worldviews or just so many different things that seem to be pulling people apart. And we just said, you know what, why don't we just focus this song on rallying around things that we can all get on board with? Or like, you know, we can all agree, I think, on peace, love, and maybe country music isn't everybody's thing, but I think music is a pretty universal language. So mm-hmm. Why don't we just sing about the things that we can all get on board for and just be reminded of that? And so we started kind of just working with this track, and the guys were standing outside of the door, and then they came in one by one, and it just started building and getting more exciting. And it was one of those writes that went by in a couple hours and it was done, and it just felt right. We were happy with the message and just the easygoing nature of it. And then mm-hmm. actually in our shows, we ended up doing kind of like a acapella ending to the song, where we put everybody started singing on it, and we cut out with the instruments all together. Dusty came out from behind the drums, and so it became a really fun show moment across the summer. One of our favorite moments in the show as well. So, yeah, it's a little bit different stylistically from some of the other tracks, but mm-hmm. still just something that we wanted to say.
Well, incredible, incredible message. Power to unite people, you know, together and finding that common ground with one another is what the message is. And that's what I absolutely loved. And you had such great interaction, as you said, with the fans in the show. But we're going to just play this one right now. We're going to play Here Is Peace, Love, and Country by country band The Hunter Brothers here on Music's Journey.
Turned off the news and turned on the stereo, and turn up some good vibes on a good time radio. On the back of a truck parked in a field, or the front of a boat with a rod and a reel, we take it and say it and play it wherever we go. I'm talking about peace, love, and country music. Yeah, we all need dealt the best cards, then we always lend a hand. I went to the born and raised right kind of school and came out with three simple rules. I'm talking about peace, love, and country music. Yeah, we all need some.
Was the song that had us all talking, sharing, and spreading kindness. That was Peace, Love, and Country by the country band, the Hunter Brothers. I hope that we can all encourage each other to still spread this amazing message that we have right now, spreading the kindness of what peace and love can do. And put that throughout this year for 2023 and really, really bring that forward to a friend or a relative or a next door neighbor that you haven't seen. Just go over and say hi. Let's spread this kindness. Don't forget you can download Peace, Love, and Country on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to all your playlists, share it, and you can request it at your local favorite country radio station. Such a good song. Tell us about working with Seth, because Grammy award-winning producer, man, he is just something. He is so talented.
He's unbelievable. And I have, oh man, so much gratitude in my heart for him, because I remember recording our first few songs with him, and I remember getting in the studio, and it's a very vulnerable thing when you step into the studio and you're singing for somebody that you don't know very well, and they basically hear every little intonation in your voice. And that's, you know, the studio is a place where some of your frustrations can come out, that battle against perfectionism, the maybe just even stories from your childhood that start coming up, you know, things that tell you that you can't, and you have to overcome those things. Like the studio is a very vulnerable place. And I think sometimes the perception of being, you know, in a vocal booth and singing is, you know, it's exciting. And it is, it's one of my favorite parts of the process. But it is also, it's one of those things where you're really putting yourself out there. And there's a reason as to why your producer is such an integral part of everything you do, because they're coaching you. They're that voice in your ear that is telling you that you can do it and coaching you along. And Seth just has this unbelievable ability to come alongside of you and just make you feel like he's a friend. And also just so encouraging, so that when he says something, to just give you maybe advice or insight into something, you just absorb that. And I remember him gave me this encouragement that I will never forget. And so now anytime that we go back to record, it isn't this thing where I see him through a lens of, you know, somebody who's just, you know, telling me what to do or is harsh on me. It's through the lens of that encouragement right off the get-go. And so that really laid some foundational ground to be able to just get through that vulnerability and put your best foot forward. So we are so grateful for him and for X. They're an amazing tag team. He is unbelievably talented. I mean, his resume is incredible, and we're just grateful to be working with him. Honestly, it's very, very special. And he's, we have so much gratitude for him.
Well, it's nice when you see someone like Seth with all the experience he has to be able to come in and be able to have tuned in ear to the strengths of each one of you and be able to bring out that very best and make you feel that, you know, hey, I can do this. And that's something that you stick to when you find that combination. So that is really cool. He's been on a lot of music with you guys, writing with a lot, like the last song for Peace, Love, and Country. He helped write that song too, right?
Yes. Yeah. He was on that track. He's been actually on a lot of different writes with us. And I think, you know, even the quote that hit me as you were talking there, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that that's the thing, is that Seth knows a lot, but Seth cares first and foremost. And so then as a result of him caring, you just get all of this knowledge from him, because you're able to actually get there because of how much he cares. So he's a great, great, great man.
Well, it's great to have that team behind you. And as we said with El Dorado, that song changed everything for you. That was your first single that you guys had when you signed with Open Road Recordings. So that's an incredible team to be a part of as well. You guys have really got some really special movement going through for the music industry right now.
Yeah, we're very, very thankful again. And I remember that day when our Ron Kitchener, the head of our record label and management, came in and we played him three tracks, and that was one of them. And so we were sitting in Seth's studio, and you're just kind of not really sure what somebody's thinking about it. You're putting it out there. And fortunately, he agreed to work with us, and that was pretty cool. But in those moments, boy, you're sitting on the edge of your seat because you just you don't know. There's a lot of emotions at that time.
Oh, pretty special for what you guys have accomplished so far in your career. There is just so much that you guys have come through, and we got to talk about What Color You Drive, your latest single that's out right now. Let's talk about that.
Oh wow, this is a curveball. I mean, it's something that. it's one of those lines that we've been talking about for a long time, and it finally made its way into a song. It was one of those things where we went growing up on the farm, you couldn't meet another farmer without this topic of conversation happening, and that was true. What color do you drive? You know, it's almost like this unspoken thing, but everybody knows it's like, we're gonna, if you drive John Deere and we drive New Holland, we're gonna take a shot at you, and just out of fun, right? It's just this thing where it's like, and a lot of people do care about what they drive, and they take a lot of pride in that. Mm-hmm. Some people maybe don't care at all about what they drive, you know. They just, again, that line that says, long as it gets you from A to B. But in the farming world, it is just this, it's a cultural thing. It's like, well, do you drive green? Do you drive yellow? Do you drive red? And it's one of those legacy things as well, right? And I know my grandpa drove this, and my dad drove this, and my mom came from this, and whatever it might be, it's mm-hmm. there's this cultural piece. And so we wanted to put that into a song, and here we are, it became a single. And so we tried rewriting this song like 4 or 5 times, and finally we hit it where we went, that's the way we want to say it. It actually had many different shades to it, for lack of a better term, and we finally found the spot that we all agreed was where it needed to be. So
such a fun song. We're going to play it for you right now. Here is What Color You Drive by the multi-award winning country band, the Hunter Brothers, here on Music's Journey.
Long as there's wheat fields out in the west, country folks gonna fight about which one's best, which pulls harder, which runs smoother, what don't ever break down. Who you gonna call when you needin' a tow, but to get the crop off when it's starting to snow? Might cut to the chase instead of saying hi, 'cause all we wanna know is what color you drive. Show me the keys, is it New Holland yellow or a John Deere green? Is it a quad track smokestack, brand new or throwback, shined up or covered in mud? From Holland hay in a Case IH, Saskatchewan prairies or the Kansas plains, does it got a ladder I can climb inside? Red, green or yellow, what color you drive? In the back, put your feet in the peat and go and haul some wheat. Break a bigger one liner in your old gray liner. The Kenny's with every penny to me. What color you drive? Show me the keys. Is it New Holland yellow or a John Deere green? Is it a quad track smokestack, brand new or throwback, shined up or covered in mud? From Holland hay in a Case IH, Saskatchewan prairies or the Kansas plains, does it got a ladder? Red, green, or yellow, what color you drive? What color you drive? All your low-rider Chevys, all your jacked-up Fords, anybody out there driving up by the horns? As long as it gets you from me to be.
You bet it matters to me.
Yeah, it really does matter to me. What color you drive? Show me the keys. Is it New Holland yellow or a John Deere green? Is it a quad track smokestack, brand new or throwback, shined up or covered in mud? From Holland Bay in a Case IH, Saskatchewan prairies or the Kansas plain, does it got a lever I can climb inside the red?
That's the latest single, What Color You Drive, by country band The Hunter Brothers. Don't forget you can download this one on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist, and you can also request it at your local country radio station. Talk to us about making the music video for this, because it looks so much fun.
There was a lot of stuff that happened those 2 days. Our videographer actually put a drone through the combine.
I know, I saw that.
So we found this creative partner. His name is Adler Irwin, and he is one of my best friends now. Him and I got introduced through another project about a year and a half ago, and we decided to do a music video with him. And him and I were able to just get into this creative space where we talked through this idea and this concept, and just kind of went back and forth on it and fleshed it out. And then he came up with this video treatment that honestly looked like one of those, you know, kind of those scenes that are outtakes of a Disney movie and they're all sketched and yep. it's like a flip book. He literally hand drew an entire script, and I remember us watching this and the guy's jaws were on the floor, basically the intentionality behind it. And we ended up going and doing a lot of those scenes. And then of course what kind of ends up happening is one brother gets an idea and the other one gets an idea, and then it just builds and builds and builds. And so then on those two video day shoots, we had people bringing combines from other from other farms. We had, you know, because we don't drive all the colors, we have some of them that are on our farm, but then we had people bringing, you know, this combine and that tractor and this truck and that one over here. And so we tried to get as many as we possibly could into the video, and singing on the back of a trailer, and having all these vehicles, you know, put out there. And I was driving a lawnmower under the sprayer at one point. And
I remember there, that.
It just kind of just continued to escalate. And it was a really fun shoot. It took us 2 days, and we were really happy with how it turned out.
Oh, the fans love it. As you can tell, we all have, and we've all talked about this song quite a bit on the radio. So much fun. You guys are just so strong in everything that you're doing right now. Tell us about, you've had some great shows that you guys have been playing back to back. So talk about Cavendish. That was a biggie.
Oh, wow. Yes, that was amazing. I mean, we've heard about it for so long now. We've been wanting to head out to the coast, and finally it was able to happen. And on the same night as Luke Combs, which was really special.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, I think there were 18,000 people there, and it was a very, very amazing experience. Everybody out there was so warm, and we're very, very grateful. Can't wait to head back to that one. I'm not gonna lie, I love a lot about Saskatchewan, but I was considering moving to PEI actually at that point. I was like, there is such an amazing culture out there. Mm-hmm. The appreciation for music and the arts and everything. So it's a really amazing spot.
I've never forgotten it. I toured from one side to the other side, and just everybody you meet is just a different way of living, and it's just such a special place.
So nice and so relaxed, and it was a memory for sure to put in the bank.
Very cool. So you have three more nights that you guys are going to be playing for the all night tour. Tell us about that. Two of them are sold out, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah, I think Brandon and Yorkton are sold out, and so Winnipeg, there's a few tickets left, not too many. And we've been excited to get back out on the road. And what's exciting about this one is with festival dates, you can put your creative spin on the show, but when you're doing a tour, you actually get to do a little more with the assets, mm-hmm. Like the lighting and the way that the show is structured. And so we actually had a brainstorming idea the other day, and I'm very, very excited about some of the stuff that's going to be making its way into the show. It's stuff we've been talking about for a long period of time, but once you get the five guys in a room and everybody's just throwing out ideas like we did for the music video, all of a sudden there's a bunch of new ideas that are formulated. And so I think those dates are going to be a lot of fun.
Ooh, I'm not going to see those. I'm not going to see that. That's not good.
That's not good.
It's not
good. That's not good. We need to get you there.
I'm going to miss all this.
Somehow, some way.
Okay, so tell us, you've got some new music coming. I hear yes, that there's lots that are dropping for this year. And is this all part of the new EP, right?
Yeah, definitely. So this, I think this EP is going to tell a lot of our story in a lot of ways. There's some of the tracks people have heard already. and then there's a few that definitely just speak to the narrative of how we've grown up. And I think it's a really special project to us for sure. And the title track of the EP, I don't think I can say it yet, but it is.
Come on, just a little bit. Come on.
It's five words. I just had to check it out in my head. Is that right? Yeah, five words. Let's play some Hangman. It's probably one of my favorite songs we've recorded to date, the message of it. So I'm really excited for the lyric to be released on that one. And yeah, it's a lot of these songs are going to make their way into our show and the fabric of where the career is going. So new music is on its way.
Cannot wait. That's music to my ears when I hear there's new music by the Hunter Brothers. Do you have a release date?
You're so encouraging. Thank you. Thank you so much.
The next single that's going to be coming out, can you say roughly when?
I think it'll be probably around the summertime is what I'm thinking. I mean, things are always open to change because you never know what's going to happen. But probably around the summertime, we're planning on releasing that track because it will likely be the name of the tour as well. So that's a different track. But yeah, I think it'll be about in the summertime. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
The summer show dates and the ones to follow that will be kind of following the release of that EP.
Okay. I'm excited. That means you're coming back on the show.
I'm excited too.
That means you're coming back on the show, right?
It's happening.
I'm so looking forward to it. Do you have a minute for a couple burning questions?
Yes. I love burning questions.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I'm going to stump you on something. You know I'm going to.
Are you sure?
Okay. I'm going to try.
Let's do it.
I'm going to try. Okay. How do
ready,
you...
Ready, Kim.
Working together as brothers, when you guys are going through struggles and some ups and downs, how do you guys all work towards one common goal with five different personalities?
I think we're still continuing to figure it out because every circumstance is a little bit different. There's certain things where you can just take a vote on, like my name's Ty conveniently and there's five of us, so I was born to be the tiebreaker. There's my brain working in puns. So if you have to take it to a vote and there needs to be a three out of five, guess who gets to place that? That's if you're going, you know, about it in that kind of diplomatic way. If there's something going on where, you know, one brother is really passionate about something, or maybe they're going through something, then you really have to pay attention to that detail. So sometimes you just need to slow down to take a moment to consider what needs to happen in order to flesh that out. Or on the contrary, you have like a really cool idea and that idea would get missed if you didn't kind of take the time to extract it. So sometimes like just voting on something isn't necessarily the best way. If you're coming to a conclusion, like, do we do this show or not? Then people can kind of give a vote. And we found like we're starting to see that works really well. There was a show idea that I was wanting to do and but didn't know necessarily if it was the right time. So everybody voted and there were three votes no. And so I went, okay, well, let's not do that this year and let's move into something else. So that's one of the processes. We're just continuing to find ways, you know, different people come into the vocal booth at different times and then build it in layers. And yeah, and if you're going through a specific struggle, you know, I've been quite open. I have a clinical mood disorder, and it functions very similar to bipolar. I can say that. And basically, so went through a really rough time, and it was something where everybody stood in the gaps in so many different ways, because that obviously impacts you in a very personal way. So that's on a very personal level, you know, just opening that up. But, and that's something where, you know, people have to just kind of rally around something and figure out how you're going to navigate it. And everybody's got a different piece of the puzzle that they help to make it complete.
That's really cool, because when I do this podcast, a lot of the time I talk about life's curveballs and what we go through personally, and using this platform to help others that might be struggling with something that is very similar and they find it difficult to talk about. And using this platform really helps people to hear the inspirational stories and how you handle it and how everybody around you, and just knowing what to do. I think a lot of people that are friends with with people or just acquaintances or related to may not know how to help someone that are going through stuff like
Definitely.
That.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And it's a learning curve, you know, like you don't always know, and it's just having the patience to stick it out with somebody.
Yeah.
And we find ways at different junctions, and sometimes you have no idea, but you just got to take the time to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And so it just depends on what the nature of the situation is.
It's true, because pressures too, depending on what's going on in somebody's life. And like Luke went through something so difficult as well, and you guys being able to help him and work around that terrible accident that he went through.
Yeah, and him falling off a 13-foot ladder and shattering almost everything in his arm, and, you know, it being one of the worst cases they had ever seen of, you know, somebody's arm and their elbow and everything. You know, he had to go through intense physio and rehab and was feeling the guilt of not, you know, being out in the field, and, you know, and he, you know, he was an absolute beast. He did pretty much everything he could, and I knew that he would, because of how disciplined he is. You know, he worked as hard as he could to gain as much strength back as he could, and now he's playing bass again, and, you know, he never knew if that would be the case. So it was pretty cool to see even other people from the industry step in and help play bass for shows and just kind of be part of the rehab story. So it's not just our family, you know, the music family is so supportive as well outside of our family. So, we're very, very thankful.
Well, I'm telling you, they all kick in exactly where they need to. It's the country world to me, that genre, is just a very tight-knit family, and just incredible, you know, the amount of support that they get, you know, from one another. So it's really, really cool. What is the one story that stands out to you that you can share with us, being on the road and hearing stories about what your songs have meant to a fan? Is there one that sticks out for you?
Just at our last show that we played in November, we hadn't even hit the stage yet, and I was just kind of rummaging through one side of the building, and somebody stopped me, and they just told me, actually, it was "Just Wanted You to Know." They said that song got them through a situation that was very, very challenging for them and very personal. And that was before the show even started. And so that set the tone for heading out there to do exactly what we were about to do. And that's connect with people and hopefully be, you know, just a small part of people's lives and be maybe a soundtrack to maybe some of the most challenging or some of the best moments in people's lives. I'm very grateful for that. Hard Dirt has a very, very strong tie to a little boy who went through a tremendous struggle, who, when he was in recovery, that particular song was very, very much something that kept him going. And there's a lot of stories like that we've been finding out, kind of just they progressively happen and you hear about them. And now with social media, there's people who are sending you messages through your inbox and telling you about stories. So
music has got a way, no matter what you're dealing with in life, the highs, the lows, the greats, the in-betweens, we always can tell exactly where we are. And it's going to be kind of cool to see your children grow up and your parents seeing the grandchildren and seeing what song motivated them. And when they have kids and
yes, absolutely.
You know, the music that touched them, that you guys are playing, that are going to be passed down in generations. And it's just got a musical journey all its own. And it's pretty cool. Very, very cool. Favorite song of all time and why?
My favorite song of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That is a big question. I think there's different songs that I appreciate for different reasons. Just in terms of a feel-good song, September by Earth, Wind & Fire is my favorite. Like,
love it.
It's my favorite, like, track, just in terms of getting me dancing. Mm-hmm. And we actually played it in our show for a period of time. I absolutely love that song. There's almost no song that makes me happier immediately than that song.
Yep.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite all-time songs. I mean, I said Stevie Wonder is one of my favorite artists of all time. So some of those tracks like Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I mean, getting back to the Motown days, like Ain't No Mountain High Enough, any of the ones that just
I think my dance list and your dance list are going to be the same.
honestly, yeah, no, any stuff that is like soul driven, I absolutely love. And I love when people in modern day music, they'll just all of a sudden grab elements of a song from the 70s and you can hear it immediately, or they pull from back in the day and you're like, oh, I recognize this bass line. but yeah, those are some of my favorite tracks of all time.
Cool. Are you guys going to be bringing back all the your garage there? I don't even know what you want to call that now. Is clean and spotless as can be.
Not all the time. Actually, Brock and I were just, are you talking about the silo or our studio?
Well, when you guys were doing the sea and land shanties.
Oh, that shop. Okay, there's a few different shops. The workshop, it's not always that clean, but the work crew is works really hard to keep it clean, and the brothers, and so it just depends on what job is being done before before we sing, I guess.
Fans love
those.
It's
not always that clean.
They love them, and I love them too. I was always looking forward to seeing more of the sea and land shanties.
Well, you never know what's going to come next, especially in social media land with the old brothers. So,
what's the pig's name?
Tulip. Rose.
Oh, very
good.
Got
two names. So, yes.
Okay.
She has become an iconic member of our family. So.
She's another addition that we didn't talk about. There you go.
I think we need to get her own line of merchandise.
She must.
Tulip Rose t-shirts.
She must. Okay. Who has the best dance moves?
Am I allowed? Okay, I think if we were all standing in a room, they would probably point at me. Whether they are good or not is that's a whole nother question. But I think that would probably be the general consensus, because on a wedding dance floor, like I'm the first one out there, and it's go time. It is
cool.
Go time, front to end,
front and center. Okay, so last question, because I know you got to get going. What is your best, most useless talent?
I can belch insanely loud. I don't ask me how or why it came about, but it is a whole nother level of dBs.
Really?
So don't hand me like a Pepsi or a Coke if I'm on stage, because it's a little bit earth shattering. That's probably like the most useless thing. That's probably not what you were expecting.
No, it's actually good, because everybody always gives me something related to the professional life. This is the parts I like to hear. Yeah.
I can also turn my right leg completely around.
No.
Like I can do a complete 180 so that my toe is facing backwards since breaking my femur.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You would be able to do that. Oh.
Yeah, that's my other one.
Yeah, it's going to make everybody, just the hair stands up on the back of your neck when you see that. Yeah.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. Okay. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It has been such a pleasure. I hope you'll come back as soon as we have another single to promote for you guys. I cannot wait.
Thank you so much, Kim. Thank you for taking the time, for your encouragement, for your positive words and positive influence. And I just want to wish you all the best too in all your endeavors, and just using your platform for good, and for taking the time to get down to the nitty gritty details of life. So I thank you for your time.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure, and I cannot wait. Bring on 2023 with your new
music. Let's go.
I can't wait. So say hi to everybody for me, and wish everybody the very best for this year, and I'll see you guys on the road.
Sounds fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Kim.
Take care.
You as well.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, lead singer Ty Hunter, for the country band The Hunter Brothers, for coming on the show. I've got some great shows that are coming up. I'll be interviewing Kim Burley for the award-winning rock band The Stampeders. I've also got classic rock band Lighthouse that's going to be coming on the show. We've got Runaway Angel. They are back, and I cannot wait to talk to the ladies. I've also got Kadu, Annika, Shantaya, Jason Blaine, Dan Davidson, Smoke and Ashes, Anthony Tulo, The Prairie States, Jay Walker, Aaron Allen, Clayton Bellamy, Rock Band, Weapons, and so many more. I cannot wait to get started. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Music's Journey Show. Here is Hard Dirt by country band The Hunter Brothers. We'll catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Bring on the heat, bring on the sun, bring on the clouds hanging over me, saying I'm the only one. Yeah, bring on the doubt, tell me I'll never be good enough. Bring on the hurt, bring on the past, bring on the memories of the pieces that I'm never gonna get back. Fine, I'm looking up, cause I believe in a bigger love. I grow better in hard dirt, I dig deeper when the river runs dry. Struggle makes me stronger, keeps me reaching for the sky. You don't know what the rain's worth till it finds you out in the desert. Learning how my heart works, I grow better in hard dirt. Sweat and tears, put the fruit on the vine. Someday I'm gonna rise. Someday I'm gonna shine. I grow better in hard dirt. I dig deeper when the river runs dry. Struggle makes me stronger. Keeps me reaching for the sky. You don't know what the rain's worth till it finds you out in the desert. The fruit on the vine, someday you're gonna see this heart of mine. Blood, sweat, and tears, put the fruit on the vine. Someday I'm gonna rise, someday I'm